WildTalkRadio.com.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Come hell or high water, I am giving you Monday Night Raw. I am giving you a show tonight.
Featuring the likes of Sir Rocket,
Pipe Bomb,
Mace.
Where, oh, where are my WWE ice cream bars?
Lindsay Ward.
Wait, you want me to do commentary?
I want you to do commentary.
Can I wear your blazer?
You can even wear my blazer.
I'm in.
And of course, you.
Hello, everybody. Sorry, I'm a little nervous. I've always really wanted to do this.
Give us a call and give us your take on what you thought of Monday Night Raw.
I have received an email. The Raw General Manager says, and I quote,
now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
We started Monday Night Raw off with a bang. And we start tonight's post show off with a bang.
Bang! Bang, bang!
But this is the WTR Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented by iBlack.com. I am, of course, Sir Rockin, joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
Good night, or good evening, all.
Good night. So we're supposed to, like, you know, play the exit song and go?
Yeah. That works for me. We're done. See ya!
Good night, everybody. But now we have Lindsay Ward here, and we also have Mace.
Yes, you do.
Apparently our chat room is talking TNA, not Raw.
Hmm. Awesome! Go, guys!
And yet, if we were talking TNA, they'd be talking Raw.
I know, right? Like,
yeah,
that's how things go around here.
Yeah, fans never concentrating on the current product. They're always thinking on something else.
So tonight's Raw was,
I like the first hour.
The first hour or so was pretty good. And then it went downhill.
That's because they gave us the main event first and the opener last.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. But Monday Night Raw kicked off with, you know, the return of the hardcore legend Mick Foley, telling he was there to promote the 1,000th edition of Monday Night Raw, coming up on July 23rd, if you haven't heard already.
Live from Long Island! Bang, bang!
He said the board of directors called him, and, you know, they were searching for a new permanent general manager of Monday Night Raw, and on an interim basis, they stole my idea by having, you know, past wrestlers be general managers of the program.
I'm telling you, they're listening and watching us, because that's not the only idea that got stolen tonight. Just saying.
They're paying attention. They're stalking us.
Bring back Taker next week, Monday Night Raw. I want to see it.
Bring back the computer. Bring back the computer.
Except don't have Cole read it. Just have it be a speak and spell and talk for itself.
Yes. That'll get CM Punk to do it.
No, make it have the voice of Patrick Stewart.
Or Sean Connery.
Ooh, better.
Hmm. Sean Connery is the host of the general manager of Raw.
Hmm. He's Bond. Nobody would fuck with him.
That makes a good point. It'll never happen now, because there's no way if they hear it on here, it happens on there. So maybe it'll actually happen.
Sean Connery for GM!
Next week, Chuck Norris.
Oh, yes!
Let's see the Big Show try to punch out Chuck Norris.
I like it.
I want to see that happen. Yep. Yeah. So yeah, Foley was here. He's the general manager for probably the first 15 minutes of the show, because, well, I didn't see him since. But anyway, He introduced John Lauren. He first made a tag match, Daniel Bryan, Kane versus Sheamus and CM Punk, which we'll get to in a moment. Then he brought out John Laurinaitis, who limped to the ring. And, well, they just wasted a few minutes. And Laurinaitis basically said he booked tonight's main event before he was fired. Again, I'm trying to figure out how he did it. Did he text somebody that what was going to happen the moment he was being fired? I don't know.
Don't think of it. It'll make your head hurt.
Because if you remember from SmackDown, he said his first act would be to fire John Cena. So, I
continuity and WWE, they do not meet yet again. Shocking!
Anyway, he then said he made the main event. It's a 3-on-1 handicap match. Big Show, David Otunga, and John Laurinaitis taking on John Cena in our main event. Laurinaitis then said, "Have a nice day, Foley," before Sheamus came out. CM Punk came out. They stared at him, mocked him, and all that fun stuff. Thoughts?
Why didn't this match close the damn show?
We didn't get to the match yet. Just a segment.
Yay, Foley.
Yay, Foley. Mace?
Pretty much yay, Foley, but it still brings up the question that I asked in our little chat. And only because I didn't have the opportunity to say this last night while I was half asleep. But what was the point of the match last month between Cena and John Laurinaitis if they were going to fire him 1 month later?
Because last month, John Cena had to job to Laurinaitis, so this month, he could win. And
yes,
also to humiliate.
They don't make it.
And also it's to humiliate John Laurinaitis. I don't fucking know.
But, I don't know. But she kind of explained WWE logic. Cena got his win back. Up first was CM Punk and Sheamus versus Kane and Daniel Bryan. Was it you, Mace, that made mention that this was a great pairing, or I think it was?
Yeah, for some reason, I don't know. It just sort of seems right to have Punk and Sheamus as a tag team. Just the way that they sort of get on is like two good friends just having a good laugh before the match, and then they get into it, and all of a sudden, you know, the mood changed from being, haha, we're just going to muck around and have fun, to, okay, now we're going into serious business mode.
They
just beat the shit out of people.
Yeah, they gave this matchup a lot of time, actually.
And it was a good match.
It was a good match. Let's just basically see the setup. See the finish of the match. Punk got the heck tag, marked over Daniel Bryan. And then, out of nowhere,
we got Harley Kane. Yes. We got Candy Kane. Candy was coloring. Shit.
AJ Quinn.
There we go.
AJ Quinn showed up.
Those of you who don't get the reference, get the fuck out of my network. Or at least go and look at your goddamn Batman history for the last 10 or so years.
Good Harley Quinn, you'll figure it out real quick. I actually thought it just from the red and the black and the mask and everything. I was like, holy crap, it's Harley Quinn. They finally merged the geek in the wrestling world. Yes! Sorry, go on.
And she's known as the geek anyhow, so it doesn't matter. It kind of fits, I should say. So yeah, AJ showed up dressed as Kane.
Which totally matches the graph. What?
That's all I can say really about that is, the fuck?
I think everybody did what the fuck.
Including Kane.
Yeah. He's getting good at that.
You see how quickly his head snapped around when he saw her? I was like, what the huh?
and CM Punk,
bitch, what you doing?
and Punk was there laughing at the entire time. It's like,
you know, the second that they... That could have been a CM Punk idea. Instead of having her just come out and stand by Kane or something, Punk would have said, skip your way down to the ring, go around the ring, and just leave. Don't say anything, don't do anything, just skip around the ring and go.
Just go.
That sounds like a Punk idea.
And, oh yeah, by the way, put this Kane outfit on.
It's just crazy, yo.
Yeah. And to Mr. Kool-Aid Man 2, we do read the chat. We're paying attention. We have our eyes on it.
Yeah.
So, we'll read your comments as we go
through. There's a slow delay between what we read and when we reply, so just wait about 5 or so seconds.
Right. Well, if you got questions, we'll take them in the chat room, wildtalkradio.com. Click the live button for the chat room. The storyline continues.
It does, much to the chagrin of some people, so...
So would you say this makes AJ bigger than the business, or...?
No.
Is she going into business for herself? No, not really.
No.
She's a plot point. Crazy plot point that seems to be created by M. Night Shyamalan, but she's a plot point nonetheless.
You know what? It's one of the more creative plot points they've come up with a girl in a long time, so I'm all for it. I'd like to see where they continue to go with this. I mean, it's different.
Well,
again,
Go ahead.
I was going to say, when the hell, even if it was, you know, just for storyline purposes, when the hell was the last time a girl pursued Kane? Never.
Lita.
No, Kane.
No, he went after her first.
He wanted to have the baby.
But it's also the point of when was the last time you saw a woman involved in a storyline with guys? Like an actual long-running storyline that didn't involve any other females in it.
A while.
Mm. It's refreshing, it's different. People's eyes are glued to the television to see what AJ's going to do next and who she's going to try and jump on next.
Yeah. Now here's my question to y'all, because I was talking to a guy on Twitter, and a lot of people are complaining that AJ isn't going as crazy as they would like, or she's not doing it right. You know, she needs to see Mickey James and Tara for this. As far as how to do the crazy, do you think she's doing an appropriate level, or she should be doing more, she should pull back? What would be your thoughts on that?
Perfect where it is right now.
Yeah.
This is the girl that will fuck with your head for 6 months before letting you get anything. This is the... almost like the high school crush that would never let you get close to her. You know, this is the type of crazy that is different than what Mickey James did. This isn't, I'm going to rip my hair out and scream like a crazy bitch. This is, I'm doing this because I'm having fun and I like fucking with people's minds.
This is more psychological.
Yes.
What's wrong with the story of two great wrestlers fighting over the Holy Grail, the championship? There's nothing wrong with that story.
It's just different. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just, it's done over and over and over and over again. And, you know, essentially they are fighting over the championship. It's just you have an outside party that's involved. I mean, last night you had Daniel Bryan, Kane, and CM Punk fighting for the belt. And it was about the belt, but the X factor in that match was AJ. And it's nice to have an X factor for a title match where it's just not all about the belt. There's something else going on that intrigues you. You go, huh, that's different.
Plus, you also look at it like this. John Cena's entire title run, anytime he's got the belt is, someone will come up, you've got that belt, I want it. That's what you're describing. Every now and again, you've got to take a bit of a back seat and let some other story revolve around the champions. You know, whereas AJ's this focal point between three people at the moment. Sheamus, unfortunately, is just going to be a side product.
He's going to go back to SmackDown and do something else.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, to his credit, Sheamus will get some benefit of this. He's still getting exposure on Raw, which is nice, which will give him a little bit of a boost.
Okay, I just had this weird image of AJ dressed as Sheamus. She turns herself all white and spikes her hair red.
So she's going to steal Ricardo Rodriguez's suit?
Yeah. I don't know.
I want to see her spike her hair. Just because as long as it is, that would be interesting to see.
That's Dragon Ball Z spiking hair of the hair there.
It would fit. It would. I mean, she's the geek.
It would,
but
could you imagine how much gel or concrete it would take to get the hair to stand up that?
She'd have to go in at like 6 o'clock in the morning, and they might have it done by Raw. Might. Just guessing at, just looking at her hair and guessing at how heavy it is.
And then, yeah, the gel in it's probably going to break her neck.
Yeah, I mean, her head will weigh more than she does by the end of it. She'll just walk out and her neck will snap. And that'll be it. But I'd like to also point out that this kind of story is something that they're not willing to do with John Cena and something you really can't do with John Cena.
No, he has to stay happy-go-lucky because of the divorce.
So, yeah, because I think this is, so I think this is a good thing. It's a nice change. It's a refreshing change. And it's something, oh my god, creative that came out of creative. Shocking.
I know, shocking, right?
The creative. Plus, and here's the thing, I'm not gonna say this about anybody in particular, but it's one of these things of fans are always sitting there clamoring for something different. Give me something new. Give me something refreshing. Give me something different. They get it, and it's, why does it like the same old stuff? You're never fucking happy. Whereas a lot of people can sit back and go, this is enjoying. This is different. I like this. You're the fans we like. The other ones, out the door. Sorry, I suddenly thought I was on another show on Tuesday nights.
It's okay.
Is there any rednecks here? No?
No, okay. No. We don't have any rednecks here.
I'm a transplanted redneck. Does that count?
No.
Okay.
But then again, I'm not Canadian with an ego problem.
Oh!
Well, I'm talking about Tim Steyn, okay?
Moving along, he says. Backstage, we had Dolph Ziggler and Jack Swagger bickering with one another. And then Vicky walked up, and they want to know, you know, she has to pick one of them, basically. And they're having a match. I know, Mace. I know. So, it set up Dolph Ziggler and Jack Swagger. The match was good.
Oh, the match was excellent. I mean, it was just a little sudden as far as, you know, it's, oh yeah, we're going to split you two up now. Right now. No other reason. You two are just going to have a match. Whoever wins gets Vicky. Which I'm not sure if that's a win or a loss.
This is what we posed last night. I don't know if it's a win for him.
I mean, it's from the standpoint of where do you go with Ziggler now that Dolph has Vicky?
Ziggler is Dolph.
I'm sorry, Swagger.
Swagger.
You see? That's how much he makes an impact on me. Swagger, where do you go with Swagger?
Back to the mid-card.
Well, I mean, it's, are they going to extend this out? Are they going to try to get a pay-per-view match out of this? I mean, it seems like you could have built a feud out of this where you build the breakup to Money in the Bank and you have them break up at Money in the Bank, unless you're going to throw Swagger in that match, although he won. Didn't he win Money in the Bank?
He did win Money in the Bank.
So he's not going to be in it. So,
well,
yeah, I mean,
He might be in it. They're just not going to have him win.
True. But yeah, I mean, it's, you could have still built a, oh my god, you could have built a pay-per-view match out of this.
They don't do that.
What, give two guys who can actually wrestle a shot on a pay-per-view? That's insane!
I know. I'm a crazy person. I'm a crazy chick! Rock on.
You gonna don a cane mask and run around, skip around wrestling rings as well?
Only on Halloween.
I want pictures.
Okay.
So yeah, Dolph Ziggler beat Jack Swagger.
Unlike her, go ahead. My boobs will actually fill out the costume, just saying. Anyway, go on.
Dolph Ziggler.
Segway that one, Brock.
Okay, Lindsay will fill out a Kane outfit nicely. Vicky Guerrero was wearing what?
What the hell happened to her pants?
I was busy opening, like, 3 days' worth of mail at that time, so I didn't see what she had on.
She had on, like, this top that was, like, it basically looked like it was made out of scarves. And it had a poncho-type top, and then there were shorts, but they were really short shorts. And I keep saying, Vicky, you got the goddamn fat legs. You don't need to be wearing shorts that short. Doesn't look good. But yeah, it's like, what the hell is she wearing?
I don't know. And see, I was able to transition to that. So yeah, Dolph wins, and they had a kiss. Her, Ziggler and Vicky. I don't think
there's a lot of love in the WWE right now.
It is that time of the year, I guess. It's summer.
Someone's not getting love out of his marriage.
Moving on. For this totally derails to a show that...
This show derail?
I know,
my
right?
God, what a concept.
I know, right? Derailing a show. Wow, was it really? Went the right to that? Okay. Up next, we had Jerry Lawler give his favorite moment of Raw, which was the bedpan incident with Vince McMahon, Steve Austin, and Mr. Sacco.
Finally, a good one.
I would agree with that one. And then we were given the introduction of that Brock Lesnar has arrived. Wait, no, that wasn't Brock. That was Paul Heyman.
I marked just a little bit for the classic roll-up shot of the limo. I only wished Heyman had gotten out, just because it feels like it's been forever since they've done that shot. And you always, I don't know why, maybe it's just me, but seeing that and seeing the person get out of the car, it's like, oh, shit's going to get real now. Because somebody's here.
Somebody's here, somebody's arrived. Paul Heyman came out and said Triple H was going to hear a word that he's not used to hearing, because, you know, when he sits up in the Titan Towers, you know, they all kiss his ass. Wait, can people kiss people's asses?
That never happens.
But before you get too far into it, how awesome was that as a heat builder?
Oh, it was fantastic.
It was like, I saw the limo shot and everything, and then I hear the music and I'm like, if you want to get heat on Lesnar, you have Heyman walk out right now. Next thing, here comes El Baldo himself.
I will go back to that point. I mean, they did that the first time Heyman arrived. When Heyman first came back for Brock, he came. The music played, it paused with a long drawn out, and then he came out.
True.
That's a good way to get heat. Still a point. But anyway, he said the word you're not used to hearing is no, which then, well, brought out Triple H. And, he said basically to he said we're not in the bingo hall. He's not one of cronies, and he's not going to drink Paul Heyman's Kool-Aid. I know what you are. You're a habitual liar. That's the truth. And he basically said, Brock Lesnar's going to fight me at SummerSlam. Heyman, you know, told him that's not going to happen, and they went back and forth. They put up a picture of, you know, the SummerSlam poster, and, you know, Triple H at one point got Heyman almost to believe in what Triple H was saying. Went back and forth for a while. Thoughts in general, you know, this whole bit.
What happens when Paul Heyman takes over the WWE?
That's a good question, because Triple H...
The checkbooks bounce, the company closes after 3 years, they start doing bingo hall shows, and they will not be on any major network.
So TNA takes over?
Yeah.
Now I have the Paul Heyman promo, bounce checks, from One Night Stand to JBL. In my head. Thank you, Mace. He was pushing Hunter's button, wanting to hit him. He stuck his chin out for Hunter, hit him. And then, you know, he knew he wouldn't do it. And he said he would take one for Team Lesnar, and let him hit him, you know, because then they would own the joint. But, you know, when they own the joint, he wouldn't have anything for Triple H. Starts to walk away, turns back around, and says, but I do have something for Stephanie. And, well, Hunter grabbed Heyman, and then Heyman's head turned red.
Yeah. Triple H, smash!
He grabbed him by... You just saw his head, like, it was almost turning purple.
Yeah, he was going, I can't breathe, I can't breathe, I can't breathe.
At all.
I can't breathe!
And, you know, it looked like he wasn't going to hit Paul Heyman, and then, boom! And he said, did you see that coming? And then he said, you tell Brock Lesnar I will see him at SummerSlam. Effective?
Oh, yes.
Effective, but at the same time, it's the same thing we pretty much saw with The Undertaker. It's like, I want a match. No. Want a match. No. Want a match. No. Want a match. Okay.
No. Sean is better than you. I want a match. Fine.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those... It's repeating the same cycle with how Hunter gets his big matchups. But then again, it's also the point of nobody really knows whether Brock Lesnar wants to actually be in a WWE or whether he's going to break a contract or run away to MMA or run away somewhere else.
But the lawsuit thing is an interesting one. As Lindsay was saying, Heyman and Brock could be taking over. They don't.
Could be an interesting plot twist.
I mean, they don't have a general manager, and if they get control... I'd be okay with that.
I'd be okay with Paul Heyman as a GM, like, even if they weren't doing the current lawsuit storyline. Like, out of nowhere Paul Heyman suddenly rocks up as the GM, I'd be cool with that.
Maybe that could be part of the settlement, is Paul Heyman becomes GM. Or gets some kind of corporate position within the WWE. And power over Raw and SmackDown, because, as we all remember, Paul Heyman was a GM at one time.
He was.
He was the co-GM of SmackDown with Stephanie.
And he was solo GM for a while, too, I believe.
I think so, yeah. So, with them looking at previous GMs and that hint that they're going to bring them back, which I hope to God they bring back Regal, too, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe they don't do something with that.
The week and before SummerSlam.
What, Regal or Heyman?
Heyman? Heyman. The week before SummerSlam, they give him control of Raw. Heyman turns around and goes, if you win, I will drop the lawsuits. If we win, we get control of Raw permanently.
That'd be a good way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hunter loses.
Yep. As long as we're not having to sit there and look at that poster for too long, because that's scary.
Oh god, that was the ugliest poster ever! I mean, they were showing that thing, and it's like, oh, God. Really? That's going to sell nothing.
You want to go for an oh, God moment? After they showed that poster and after the segment was over, they showed a close-up of Ricardo Rodriguez's ass from last night.
Well, it's not like it had any stains on it.
Luckily. Luckily. So yeah, they recapped the tuxedo match, and we were then treated to Alberto Del Rio versus Santino Marella. And basically what happened was Del Rio killed Santino.
I know. It was very sad. And then Rodriguez kind of tried to kill Santino and failed. But it was adorable.
Right. To go back to answer Russell for next, to show people we actually pay attention in chat, they mentioned that this, Mick Foley mentioned that past general managers are going to be hosting, are going to be getting the spot for the next several weeks till they find a permanent GM.
So they could really, they could do this indefinitely if they wanted to. Just keep cycling people through.
Right. Kind of, sort of my idea. But, anyway.
Except you said legends. You didn't say past GMs, you said legends.
I said legends, okay. They kind of stole my idea.
That would be like having the guest hosts all over again.
I did say except that.
Except it's wrestlers.
It's wrestlers. From Attitude Era. That people cared about.
Take her.
Could it also be used as some sort of tie-in for WWE 13?
No.
Hey, if that happens, I want to see X-Pac next week as GM.
Well, Nash was screwing with everybody and saying that he was going to be running Raw tonight on Twitter.
Yeah, I think, what's it called? Regal might be next week. I got a feeling.
Regal running the show would be awesome.
Only if they bring back his office with the little tea set on the desk and the British flags in the background.
And Tajiri.
And Tajiri. Wait, they can't even do it with Funaki. Yeah, they can do it with Funaki. He's still employed, isn't he?
No, I don't think he is. I think they finally let him go.
Have they got a Japanese guy on standby?
They can always bring in Funaki.
They have Sakamoto.
No. What about Yoshitatsu?
Yoshitatsu would work.
There you go. I knew they had some sort of Japanese guy. Okay. Real Cane Kittens. I see what you're posting there about Puppet H. No. Don't put him on commentary. Puppet H is a guest GM on Raw.
Yes! Win! Make this happen, WWE, if you're in the sound of our voice. Just put Matthews and Road Dogg on commentary.
So I'm going through this. There's like Slaughter, Sean, their commissioners, Foley, Commissioner, Regal, Commissioner. You have some guy named Ric Flair who was the owner. Basically, you have a commissioner type person. You have Vince McMahon. Will they bring back Coach to be the GM?
No, he's too cushy in his current job.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Mike Adamly was a former general manager of Raw.
They won't.
And just in time for Summerfest.
But you know what? After Laurinaitis' botches, you're really gonna be dreading freaking Mike Adamly? Seriously? I mean, Laurinaitis was 10 times worse.
Well, no, Laurinaitis was worse in volume of botches. Adam Lee quality of botches was worse. At least he doesn't call somebody Jeff Harvey.
Jeff Harvey. That was...
I don't know. He mispronounced a couple pay-per-view names. He pronounced Miz on the wrong team for WrestleMania. I think he actually got his name wrong once.
And last week, we were only at We're coming up to our 100th episode, not 1,000th episode.
Mace has a point there.
Just saying, folks. Here we go. The black hole of suck. Mike Adamly and John Laurinaitis in the same room together.
No, what you do is you put Adamly, Cole, and Laurinaitis on commentary.
Oh, God.
Another man who's been waiting anxiously with anticipation, his name is Jeff Harvey.
Oh, dear.
Thank you, Mike Adamly.
He tried. He failed, but he tried.
And if you would like to give Mike Adamly a call, his number is...
Wait, what?
8-4... Right.
Put the little black book down.
Okay, moving on.
If we're not going to prank call anybody good, then don't do it.
Okay, fine. Moving on, after the Santino beatdown, we had, well, what can we say call this segment? Bad Mace. Bad Mace.
No, we're not going to do that. No. Bad Mace. Wouldn't answer anyway.
What we call this segment was The Return of Cyndi Lauper.
In other words, now becoming weekly, bringing back of the old wrestlers. Last week it was Vader, this week it was Cyndi Lauper, Wendi Richter, and another guy later.
Right. Layla came out, she introduced Cyndi Lauper and Wendi Richter. Noted that this was Lauper's first appearance in WWE ring in 27 years. Cole started immediately apologizing on commentary. He was terrible during the segment. Oh my god, he was annoying. Shut up.
Can you just shut up?
Pretty much. Cyndi Lauper just kept talking as Heath Slater came out, calling the segment a trade wreck. And, you know, she asked, who am I? He said, honey, is that a joke? And then he's the one-man band. And, well...
I'm the one-man band.
You sing it better than he does.
That's because I can carry a tune, darling.
How do we explain it?
He decided to sing his new single in the vein of Three Count.
Nevada 3 count. So, during this segment, I went to iTunes and saw, well, you know, his song is available on iTunes.
Oh my god, seriously?
And I bought it.
You bought it? Oh, and bad producer.
And I'm playing it right now.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No.
Yes. Yes, I am.
You suck. 7-11!
Can you name those two people?
That was Jillian Hall and, by the sounds of it, probably Funaki.
Was not Funaki.
No. Who?
Daivari.
Oh, good lord.
I don't know if his actual thing's on iTunes. I just had that clip and I felt like playing it. So.
You suck. You're evil.
I know, right? So. Hashtag evil producer. Anyway, Roddy Piper finally showed up.
Thank God.
Yay, Roddy!
And, you know, he had a shirt on that basically said, if girls want to have fun, they call Roddy Piper.
Damn right.
Absolutely.
And, he he said he loves Cyndi Lauper and her singing. He handed her a gold record.
The one that he broke over somebody's head back in the day.
Back in the day. And they Piper recalled the great manager, Captain Lou Albano.
And that, which was an awesome mention.
Yeah, it got him choked up. If you saw Piper, he got choked up. With the crowd going, Lou! Slater started to sing again, and then, well, Piper gave the gold record to Cyndi and said, hit him! And she did.
And Slater bled the hard way.
He did.
Because they, for whatever reason, didn't
taking
use...
Taking glass to the head will do that to you.
Oh, I know, but they didn't use gimmicked glass. They used real glass. It's like, what the hell is wrong with y'all?
They're special. God's special little children.
You could have gotten sugar glass and put it in there.
That would have taken effort.
But then again, it's Heath Slater. Are we really missing anything?
No, not really.
No. So after that train wreck of a segment, that Michael Cole called the worst segment in the history of the 1,000th edition of Raw.
No, they've had worse. But they could have cut that by 10 minutes and it would have been okay.
Yeah. Layla was standing there. What am I still doing here? What am I doing here? Is this thing over yet? Speaking of wanting to kill ourselves, our next contest, the Primetime Players with AW taking on Primo and Epico.
Snore.
And nobody gave a fuck, including the crowd. Like, you could see people... There was, like, a group of 20 people who got up and walked out in a straight line during this match. Like, I think it was a third of the way through it. You just see all these people getting up from the floor and walking up and going to take a piss break. Seriously. It was just... And we wonder why there's no tag division? Because nobody cares about it.
And not a fuck was given this day.
Yeah, Primo and Epico won the match via countout when the Primetime Players, who were the number one contenders for the tag team titles, we shocked Omega by telling him there were four tag teams last night in action. He was like, what? You crazy. No, there actually were four tag teams last night. And these were two of them. So yeah, the feud continues between...
Oh, four tag teams?
Yeah, there were four tag teams last night.
We have... Primo Epico.
Uh-huh.
Primetime Players.
Uh-huh.
The
Usos.
The Usos and the two retards from NXT.
That's the Primetime Players.
Is it? Okay.
Gabriel and Kid were the fourth last night.
They're not a real tag team.
They are. They're actually a tag team.
Wow.
Yeah, they were going to be they were in the dark match of WrestleMania. Then Gabriel got hurt, so their union was pushed, aside until he got better. So now he's healthy, and they're now a tag team.
Okay.
Well, yeah. CM Punk and Daniel Bryan are big fans of Tyson Kidd, and they want him pushed more. I think so.
Well,
yeah.
He deserves it.
He does. So, yeah, that happened, and then they announced next week on Raw the return of Chris Jericho minus the mystery promos.
I think they learned their lesson.
No more mystery promos for Chris Jericho. Which is a shame. They're always good.
I'm more annoyed that he doesn't wear his shiny, flashy jacket when he sings.
Is it wrong of me to go, he should come out with a Brazilian flag next week on Raw?
It's not wrong, but it's not going to happen.
I know, but,
But here's the real question. What do you do with Jericho upon his return? Whom does he feud with?
The unemployment line. I'm sorry, I still want him gone.
I know.
Pointless even hiring him back in the first place.
Well, we got a decent feud out of him with Punk, but I mean, after that, there's really nothing. They've locked everybody into feuds unless you're going to spend somebody out of one of the major title feuds. Well, I guess there's nothing going on with Del Rio.
But there, Jericho's a heel, I think.
It depends on how he comes back.
The way they're promoting him, it sounds like he's coming back as a babyface. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see with the return of Jericho. Yeah. Up next was our main event of the evening. John Laurinaitis came to the ring and cut a promo calling us losers. You're a loser, you're a loser. We're all a bunch of losers. Doesn't that make you feel good about yourself being called a loser?
The only reason I felt like a loser was I had to sit through that segment.
When we came back, Teddy Long was on commentary. Just randomly talking. Wasn't making much sense, but he was just randomly talking. Big Show came out, basically walked out on the match, leaving it to be Otunga and Laurinaitis in a handicap match against John Cena, who has taped his fist. Something's up with him in his hands, I think.
Could be.
It's just weird seeing him with taped fist.
Maybe his knuckles are cut up or something.
Might be.
Maybe he hurt his hands blocking the punches from his ex-wife.
Possibly. Ooh. Possibly. Long story short, Otunga walked out on Laurinaitis, and then Laurinaitis got beat up by John Cena. 3 AAs. Teddy Long approved. Cena wins. Goodbye, Johnny.
For now.
Yeah.
It was something, alright. Is this really the end of John Laurinaitis?
Not by a long shot, but it's something.
It gets him off TV for a little bit until they bring him back, because I have a funny feeling that with Triple H causing legal problems, that will come up in the storyline, and maybe that's how they bring Laurinaitis back as the, I think, the assistant to the board of directors or something like that, where he, you know, he's like, you can't be smacking Paul Heyman around like that. Watch me, dude.
That's quite possible. We'll get more into that Sunday on WTR. We'll do some future planning and figure out, what do you do with John Laurinaitis from here? What do you do from John Cena from here?
Would that happen to be a fancy-dancy roundtable?
It might be a fancy-dancy roundtable. We may have a fancy-dancy roundtable on Sunday.
Ooh.
Don't know who's hosting that show Sunday. God, I hope it's Tim.
Yes, Tim, please come back.
Got a feeling it's not going to be Tim, though. Feeling it's going to be me. Just saying. Anyway, overall thoughts on Raw?
First hour was good. Second hour was eh. I think they got the sheets mixed up, and they did the first half of the show second and the second half of the show first. Or maybe they just printed it out in reverse order. I don't know.
The positive, we had no real squash matches except for the Del Rio match.
That's true, but yeah, and it's, I was really disappointed when they opened the show with Punk and Brian and Kane and Sheamus. It's like, really? You're opening with this? I mean, and especially with the follow-up, I think, to Dolphin Swagger, it's like, you could have flipped those two matches, or you could have flipped some things around and at least had your two world champions at the top of your second hour, as opposed to having them open your show, because afterwards, at least for me, it's like, why do I want to watch the rest of this? I really don't care.
Yeah, the Hunter stuff should open, the Kane, CM Punk, shebang should have been the middle, and then you close with John Cena. I've been alright. But yeah, well, it was what it was. It was, you know, wasn't a bad show.
No, it wasn't a bad show. I mean, I would give it a C plus, maybe a B minus, but it was, the second hour just really lacked anything.
But just wait, how many more weeks are we away? Five? From 3 hours of Raw every single week.
Oh, God. You guys are not giving me hope here. You're not giving me hope.
As you can tell, we all seem so excited to cover 3 hours of Raw on a weekly basis.
I know, right? But yeah, that's this show. Anything else you guys want to talk about before we head on out of here tonight?
No.
We're good?
I'm good.
We're good.
I gotta go catch up on a pay-per-view now.
Yeah, you do.
After zombie killing.
After zombie killing. So we're gonna plug shit for the rest of the week. What are we doing tomorrow night? Mace, what's tomorrow?
Tomorrow is Wednesday.
And Tuesday
night. Oh, but you guys, it's Tuesday night.
It's Tuesday night for...
Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Ellen Wojcik, myself, and the Spud Guy. And this week we got Bria Kanellis and somebody else, I can't remember.
Truth Martini from Ring of Honor.
Yeah, somebody I really don't give a shit about.
But tune in anyway.
I'm sure I'll have some good questions from Maria anyway.
Maria Kanellis, Truth Martini, live on KFA Wrestling Radio tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern. Wednesday night is just another goddamn wrestling show with Jed Schaefer, Brian Blotti, and the Cheap Wood panel, and go to their Facebook page and vote on Shoot Back is the name of the segment they do, right? Yeah, Shoot Back. Vote on it on their Facebook page. Thursday night. If you missed our announcement last night, Thursday show is on hiatus. That's all we're saying.
Yeah.
We're leaving it
so,
as that.
Sorry, Wrestling Fanatic. I see you plugging our chat discussion on Impact, but yeah, the rack is going on hiatus for right now. So, sorry.
Sorry. To make up for it, Sunday we'll talk some TNA. Okay? Got you back. Talk TNA Sunday on WTR. Mate, you gotta watch some TNA.
Yeah, I'll watch some TNA.
So, just, we'll get your...
The wrestling TNA, not the other kind.
Oh, okay. If I have to.
Yeah, just watch a little. We're going to talk about the Impact on WTR. We'll get to it. We're going to cover it. Don't worry. So, the rack is on hiatus, so don't worry. We may come back. Saturday night go ahead.
No, just possibly.
Possibly. Saturday night, midnight edition of TV Radio with myself, Ron Parks, Subway. We talked the weird, the wacky, the unusual. It happened. It's a thing. TV Radio. It's your only excuse to come on a Saturday night. And then Sunday, WrestleTalk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern with Omega and Mace. Hope and Tim. I doubt it, but I'm hoping. As we cover, you know, all things in the world of professional wrestling. Plug something, one of you.
At this point, it's only a few days left for Mario Marathon. Starting Friday night, Mario Marathon will be doing a weekend of playing Mario for donations to go towards the Child's Play charity. Great charity, I support it every year, so should you. So head on over to MarioMarathon.com as of Friday and watch the guys play through Mario games, making complete utter jackasses of themselves. They do give out prizes and get phone calls and all that type of stuff, so it's a good event. You should support it.
Lindsay, you want to plug something?
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWard.
At Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Sam today will give you all the news and fun stuff on there. But yeah, Truth Martini, Maria Kanellis tomorrow night on KVM Wrestling Radio. For Mace, for Lindsay, for Ron Sorak, and we'll see you next Monday night for another edition of the WGR Raw Post Show, presented by iBlack.com, right here on Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.